Phonics and Maybe Tomorrow, and Neil Young and Four Strong Winds to start the hour. Further to your comments about how to have a drink in zero gravity, Sarah, somebody is asking if you know what a goon bag is.
No, what's a goon bag?
A goon bag.
Don't know what a goon bag
is. More to the Australians. It's what the Australians call the inside of a box of wine, you know, the silver bit that holds the plastic bladder, basically.
Oh, like when you buy
inside a box
a
of wine.
A QB.
Yeah. A wine box. We call it in Germany, a QB.
I call it a QB in France.
Well, inside is that silver sort of, plastic bladder
yes.
that has the wine in it.
Yes.
Well, somebody's suggesting that what they call a goon bag.
Yeah, well, why not?
Could be useful in outer space. Mm-hmm. It looks spacey, doesn't it, really?
Certainly
yeah.
does.
Yeah. Whether we go pop if you fill that up with champagne or not, we don't know. Now, never mind the sausage walls that are breaking out between Britain and the European Union. The French are up in arms, again, about EU proposals to make traffic light food labelling compulsory.
Oh.
Now, this is from the local France today. France already has a traffic light food labelling system called Nutri-Score, which is used in supermarkets, but the EU proposal is to make it compulsory for all food sale points. Now, the problem for producers of some of France's best-loved food products, like cheese and sausage, is that these tend to get poor health ratings based on their high fat and salt content. As something that artisan producers say is unfair, as their products are made to traditional recipes that can't be changed. Yeah, but they're still full of salt and fat, aren't they? Whether they're traditional or not. Producers in the south, who produce the prestigious Port Noir de Bigorre, also known as L'Or Gras, or Fatty Gold, and the much-loved French AOP cheeses Roquefort and Pelardon, are calling for an exemption for traditional produce. Now, Roquefort usually gets an E, the worst grade, on the Nutri-Score system due to its high salt content, while Pelardon usually gets a D. You don't like Roquefort, do you?
No, I'm not a great cheese fan.
Well, is it the mouldy bits in it you don't like?
Ooh. I just don't like cheese. I'll have a bit of mild cheddar, but that's about as far as I'll go. And mozzarella.
Slice of Roquefort with a glass of red wine. I mean, it's heaven, really. Nutri-Score was created to encourage industrial producers to improve the nutritional value of their processed products, which is good for chocolate bars, sodas or prepared food, said the director of the Regional Institute of Food Quality of Occitanie, Pierre Gingembre. Pierre Ginger. But the calculation is not suited for traditional food products. An organic fruit juice will get a C, whereas a diet soda with sweeteners will get a B. Yeah, that's true, isn't it? Other fatty food also gets a low score, although they barely contain additives. For instance, a jambon port noir de Bigorre is made with pork, salt, pepper and nothing else. Ooh, must try it. I haven't had one of those. It's a recipe full of history, but that will be discredited with this labelling, which consumers rely on. Fearing the consumers might give the cold shoulder to these products because of their high amounts of sugar or fat, the committee has asked the European Commission to exempt them from the labelling. The General Confederation of Roquefort has also written to the candidates running for the regional elections in June to defend their cause and their traditional methods. The Nutri-Score system was created by Santé Publique France, the French public health agency, and implemented by the French government in March 2017. It was created to help consumers make more transparent and healthier purchasing decisions. And since January the 1st this year, the labelling is mandatory on every food advert. Do you look at the Nutri-Score when you're going around the supermarket?
No, I don't.
Because I had one of those,
I don't know what's happened to common sense, you see. I mean, surely people are old enough and wise enough to be able to know if something's good. I mean, obviously it's nice to know what's in it because obviously they can be putting things that you don't know.
Well, additives, yes, and processed foods. But I would suggest that, because the sad thing is in France, you never used to see sort of obese people, but you have over the last 20 years, it's been getting worse and worse. You see quite obese children a lot and quite sort of obese adults. And you never used to see that. The front of the French were always really slender, both the men and the women, but there's more of it creeping in.
Mm.
What is the culprit? Fast food.
Yeah, so it's not really what you buy in a supermarket.
Well, yeah, but it is because that, fast food comes into supermarket produce as well. It's all these ready-made meals which are loaded with fat and sugar and salt. And, you know, in the old days, when the French just sausages and cheese and the rest of it, and hard work in the fields.
Where have you been? Picard is good. Picard, they have good ratings on there. I mean, that's all, isn't it?
I think it's the prevalence of burgers and kebabs and all the rest of it that now, because they're everywhere, and more people are eating them. And we saw it in the UK when McDonald's arrived in the 1970s and it exploded after that, then people just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah. That's what I think.
We know what you think.
Not a professional nutritionist by any stretch of the imagination. It's 8:20.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
Good morning to you. So I'm sending in a recording this morning, as there seems to be a few little technical gremlins on the line. Today we have a senior male dog looking for a good retirement basket. His name is Flambeau, and he has a white coat and he weighs about 16 kilos. I think he's a basset crossed with something. He's neutered, chipped and vaccinated. He has Cushing's disease, and that means he takes medicine every day and he sees the vet every 6 months. But other than that, it doesn't seem to bother him. He was abandoned following the death of his owner, and he had been loved and pampered his whole life, and it must have come as a huge shock to suddenly find himself at the shelter. He is a very friendly dog, and he can happily walk miles without any problem. He will definitely make someone a great companion. He really is the perfect family dog because he's very sociable with people, cats and dogs. He's clean and he's trained. And what he needs now is a serious and caring owner or owners who live in the Alpes Maritimes or the Var and who are present and won't leave him alone for more than 4 hours a day and who can also afford the medicine that he'll need and look after him properly. So if you think that that could be you, then please email Tania, T-A-N-I-A, Tania, at all one word, leschatdumercantour.com. Have a good week.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's Woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woof Riviera Radio.
The press review is brought to you by BMW Côte d'Azur.
The Guardian says Rishi Sunak's willing to accept a delay of up to 4 weeks to the final stage of England's reopening roadmap. The Guardian says it understands as the government considers extending restrictions beyond the 21st of June. Ministers will continue to scrutinise data on cases and hospitalisations over the coming days, with a final decision set to be announced by the Prime Minister next Monday. From the 21st of June, nightclubs are due to reopen, with a cap on wedding numbers, large-scale events and indoor mixing lifted, and guidance on working from home and mask wearing dropped. A delay in all these changes would infuriate many Conservative backbenchers. On Tuesday, the former Tory minister Steve Baker pressed for the dates dubbed Freedom Day to go ahead, calling it the last chance to save industries such as hospitality, which is calling for the 2 metre distancing rule to be scrapped.
In this morning's Parisian, a reopening of nightclubs for the summer season seems to be taking shape, with French President Emmanuel Macron suggesting a reopening on July the 2nd, following the last stage of the end to lockdown in France, which is planned on June the 30th. The nightclub sector remains particularly affected by the consequences of the health crisis, since it has been at a complete standstill for 15 months. A reopening this summer therefore seems essential for a sector that was already fragile even before the health crisis. 35% of the annual turnover of nightclubs is indeed achieved during the summer season. Since the start of the crisis, of the 1,600 nightclubs in France, 250 have already closed and 100 others are on the verge of bankruptcy.
The Sydney Morning Herald says that Sydney's fallen outside the top 10 cities in the World Livability Index in the first global ranking since the COVID-19 pandemic hit. The Economist's 2021 Global Livability Survey saw Sydney's ranking drop from 3rd to 11th, despite Australian cities dominating the top 10. And six of the top 10 highest-ranked cities are in New Zealand or Australia, where tight border controls have allowed residents to live relatively normal lives, according to the survey. And Melbourne, previously ranked second, has dropped to 8th position, while Adelaide shot up the list to 3rd, Perth to 6th and Brisbane to 10th.
And in the connection, France is to reopen for international travel from today using a green, amber, red travel system to categorise countries and set the travel rules which are related to them.
BBC World Service News live from London coming up. The Full English Breakfast Show, 106.3 and 106.5 FM.
The Press Review, brought to you by BMW, Nice Premium Motors, Bayon Avenue Cannes and BMW Store Monaco.
On with the pop quiz.
Question number one. This member of an English band was born on this day in 1946. The band scored the 1970 UK number one single, Love Grows Where My Rosemary Goes.
Edison Lighthouse.
That's correct. And who am I referring to? Which member of the band?
No idea.
No, you haven't got...
No.
Come on, come up with a name. It's two... Well, no, first names.
Ed Sheeran.
Oh, you were... Stuart Edwards.
Really? I wouldn't know him from Adam, sorry.
Question number two. On this day in 1984, Cyndi Lauper started a two-week run and number one in the US and a number three hit in the UK with which song?
Which year?
1984 on this day. It was a...
We did Girls Just Want to Have Fun last time, so it must be True Colours.
No.
Time After Time.
Correct.
Okay.
And finally, on this day in 1990, bailiffs repossessed the mansion owned by this group.
Ed Sheeran.
After non-payment of the mortgage, they had previously had a 1986... Is this ringing any bells? A group?
Sort of, yes.
Having their house repossessed?
1990 mansion. They previously had a 1986 hit with what?
Well done. With what? Come on. I'm going to give you... Shall I give you the name of it? Okay. They had a 1986 number two hit in the UK with Rain or Shine, and it spent 13 weeks in the UK charts. And you've got to get this because I'd really like you to play it because I haven't heard it for donkey's years.
We can play it later on your own, can't you? I haven't got a clue.
Oh, come on.
No, I don't know.
Rain or Shine. My Knight in Shining Armour, doesn't it start with that?
I don't know.
Five Star.
Oh. No wonder I didn't get it.
You're quite glad you didn't get it, aren't you?
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That was a lovely little chat we were just having off air, though. I did enjoy that.
It was a lovely little chat. I'll share one moment when you said the stress of your job. Shall I tell them?
What's
the
that
biggest
then?
Stress in your job is that tennis players' names are becoming unpronounceable.
Well, you know, you did touch
really
me when you said that so they didn't consider you attractive enough to be on the television anymore and that they found, you know, somebody young and more handsome to do the Barclays stuff for them.
Quite right.
The thing is, there's no fun in finance apart. This is fun and it's informative as well. But, I mean, all these kind of straights and the market went up and then it went down. Yeah. I mean, it's quite boring for most people, isn't it?
No personality, is it?
No
personality. This is what we offer.
Right.
Bit of a worry.
OK. On to the markets, then.
European stocks rose by 0.1% yesterday, enough to propel the Stoxx 600 to a third straight historic high. Travel and leisure shares very much leading way. The improving vaccination programme across the bloc and as the economies reopen has led to the recovery in the retail subsector, which hit a record high yesterday. Over on Wall Street, US equities closed within a touching distance of record highs as traders debate the impact of resurgent inflation on monetary policy. S&P 500 was flat to 6 points off the May 7th record high after fluctuating between gains and losses through the course of the trading session. The reality is, I think investors are a little bit cautious about taking large positions ahead of tomorrow's US inflation report and the European Central Bank meeting.
Well, this is it. Something could have been a rocket under Wall Street yesterday when that so new consumer data comes out. And also, sort of earnings season's about to kick off as well.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's one of the key things, of course. Markets will be waiting to see whether companies can fulfil those projections of very strong earnings growth, not only for the quarter, but during the course of this year and into next year, because the reality is that you've got equity markets trading up at elevated levels. That has been driven, of course, by multiple expansion, but it's also in expectation that earnings will remain strong. So I think to justify the rally and certainly to propel it further from here, we will need to see companies fulfilling those promises around earnings expectations.
I bet you had a few nervous moments last night poring over the ProPublica data, seeing that the name Henk Potts had been published as one of the world's richest people who never pays any income tax.
Absolutely zero concerns for me in that regard. I know you're happy to have authorities and the public investigate your financial and tax positions as a leading public figure, and I think that's admirable and something others should follow.
Yeah, you're going to get involved in the sausage wars at all. You better get stocking up.
I'm all good in that regard. No concerns there.
Really? Okay. Back to inflation, and producer prices are rising rapidly in China, stoking the whole inflation argument, really.
Exactly right. Surging commodity prices drove up China's factory gate inflation to the highest level since 2008, actually, in May. The producer price index surged to 9% in May year-on-year, following a gain of 6.8% in April. Local commodity prices have been driven up by a mixture of stronger global demand as well as domestic hoarding and speculation. Concerned Chinese authorities have begun to introduce restrictions on commodity trading activity, considering price caps, and have also hinted at releasing strategic reserves to try and improve supply in an effort to curb price growth. Thus far, producers appear to have been absorbing the increase in input costs, which has been squeezing margins rather than passing it on to consumers. While consumer inflation has been picking up from low levels over the course of the past few months, May's headline CPI still relatively subdued, 1.3%, actually below expectations. Consensus, I think, was for 1.6%. However, we do forecast that the upward trend in core services inflation will continue as China gradually lifts COVID containment measures and consumer sentiment improves. We forecast that CPI will peak at 2.9% in the fourth quarter before easing back to a 2% average in 2022. I think, as you quite rightly said, markets will be watching the Chinese data very closely. Rising producer prices in the world's largest exporter certainly adds to evidence of growing global price pressures down the line.
I must admit, I was quite disappointed to see the name Warren Buffett on that ProPublica list, you know, allegedly. Instead of paying his taxes, he's been guzzling Cherry Coke all these years.
Mm. Well, he's a big fan, of course, of Cherry Coke. One would suspect that Warren Buffett has made suitable tax arrangements, but
well, they all have, haven't they?
Well, within the laws and requirements.
Well, I don't think anyone's claiming they broke the law. They've taken advantage of tax avoidance schemes which are open to all Americans, said a spokesman for Elon Musk.
Okay, exactly. So I don't think you can blame individuals for that necessarily. I think what you can say is authorities need to tighten the rules if they don't like certain behaviours.
Quite right, too. And from Elon Musk onto Bitcoin, oh dear.
Yeah, Bitcoin slumped to a two-week low yesterday. It was down around about 7% at one stage during the course of the trading session to around $33,200, although it has recovered a little bit, but it's been a volatile start actually to trading this morning. Some reports the FBI has recovered a large proportion of the ransom paid by the Colonial Pipeline to hackers, perhaps calling into question whether crypto is truly outside the control of government. Bitcoin's still up 14% this year, but has plunged from a peak of almost $65,000 in mid-April. Reminder that outsized volatility must be accepted by investors if they do decide to allocate capital in this space. Sell-off, as we know, has been exacerbated by negative comments from Elon Musk, particularly around energy use required to mine coins, along with Chinese authorities stopping banks from accepting and processing cryptocurrency payments.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar, 141.5 this morning. Euro dollar just coming in below 122. You can get €1.16 for that British pound this morning.
So what does today hold? Another round of endless boring reports and reports on radio stations.
Meetings.
Market's gone up, market's gone down, gold is up.
Writing our global outlook for June. I'll be concentrating on China and the US outlook today. So enough to keep me going. Capital market assumptions meeting later today. We're focusing on that as we build out our SAA, TAA.
Okay,
these are some of the things I've got on my plate. You?
I don't know, really. But
Stella,
beach,
Sundeck,
bit
of gardening.
That's a good idea. I know it's going to might be a thunderstorm this afternoon. But I'll tell you what, you better get down Waitrose and buy a packet of Wall's bangers before the balloon goes up.
The dear lovely boerewors that my local butcher's fantastic.
There won't be any left by the time you rock up. Okay, thank you. Speak to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hang pots and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lights has the top stories across the Riviera.
The third stage of the end to lockdown is to be introduced in France today, with the curfew being pushed back to 11 p.m. and a health pass being introduced. From today, Wednesday, June the 9th, gyms and indoor swimming pools will reopen to the public. The rules in place for teleworking will be relaxed, with a gradual return to the office, making it up to the employer as to the number of minimum days to be worked from home. Bars and restaurants will be able to resume service inside, and terraces will be able to operate at 100% capacity, but still with a limit of 6 people per table. Queues in front of many shops will be shorter, as the number of people limited to circulate inside at one given time is increased. For outdoor sporting activities, they will be possible up to a limit of 25 people, including contact sports. As for the spectators, they'll be able to attend indoor and outdoor sporting events within the limit of 5,000 people seated, and the health pass will be required for more than 1,000 people. From today, you will be systematically invited to leave your details as you enter a bar, a restaurant or event in order to be contacted in the case of being exposed to COVID. You can either fill in a reminder book with your contact details or scan the QR code using the TUS anti-COVID application. And Public Health France has said that at least 60.5 million face masks rated FFP2 and distributed to health workers should no longer be worn to protect against COVID, as inhaling their particles could be toxic for the lungs. The masks are being recalled from use, and they had been distributed for use in hospitals, pharmacies and other medical centres. In other news, a bystander has slapped French President Emmanuel Macron across the face during a trip to the Drôme region on Tuesday, on the second stop of a nationwide tour. Macron's bodyguards quickly intervened and two people have been arrested. The incident occurred when Macron approached a barrier to greet a man who, instead of shaking hands, slapped the 43-year-old across the face. The man reportedly shouted, "Down with Macronism," as he slapped the president, as well as "Montjoie Saint-Denis," the battle cry of the Old Kingdom of France in reference to the banner of King Charlemagne. The head of state briefly returned to the barrier after the incident and once again interacted with the crowd, later telling reporters that, "I continued and I will continue. Nothing will stop me." A small earthquake has occurred in the Alpes-Maritimes on Tuesday evening. The epicentre of the tremor, a magnitude of 3.1 on the Richter scale, was located close to Saint-Martin-Vésubie and occurred at 11 p.m. Many took to the internet to comment on the tremor, which was strongly felt in the area, as well as several kilometres away as far as the Paillon Valley. Finally, Vinci Autoroutes has launched a campaign targeting motorcyclists on the AA motorway. Signs, tweets and radio messages have been put in place as traffic returns to the road following lockdown and as people are returning to work as well as ahead of the holiday period. The campaign hopes to remind motorcyclists of road safety as well as the dangers of zigzagging between lanes.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Tennis, the fifth seed Stefanos Tsitsipas has been beaten Daniil Medvedev to reach the semi-finals of the French Open. The 22-year-old Greek came through 6-3, 7-6, 7-5, so he showed his superiority on clay. Tsitsipas will now play Alexander Zverev in the last four. He beats Alejandro Davidovich Fokina of Spain in straight sets. In the women's event, Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova reached the last four after beating Elena Rybakina in three sets. The Russian will now play Tamara Zidanec of Slovenia, who beats Paula Badosa of Spain in three sets. I tell you, it's getting more and more difficult.
You do very well.
Every time you get down to the last eight, it's... yeah, you know. Pavlyuchenkova, I think I've got the hang of that one now, so stick with that. Football, France have completed their warm-up for Euro 2020 with a 3-0 victory over Bulgaria. In other games last night, Spain beat Lithuania 4-0, the Czech Republic beat Albania 3-1, while Hungary drew 0-0 with the Republic of Ireland. Here's more football from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. The Manchester United midfielder Donny van de Beek will miss the Netherlands Euro 2020 campaign with a groin injury. Van de Beek, who's won 19 caps, last played for his country in the 7-0 win against Gibraltar on the 30th of March. Meanwhile, the Manchester United defender Luke Shaw says the England team will continue to take the knee ahead of their European Championship games. Some members of the crowd booed the team before their recent friendly matches at the Riverside Stadium.
You know, we've had discussions about it. We've all chose what we wanted to do. We all agree it was the right thing to do to carry on, you know, taking the knee. And, you know, it's as simple as that. We'll keep doing that. We believe in that and, you know, we won't stop.
An England call-up for the European Championships is mind-blowing and being with the squad has been very surreal, says the Brighton defender Ben White. White, who's 23, made his international debut in last week's 1-0 friendly win over Austria and replaced the injured Trent Alexander-Arnold in the 26-man squad. Prior to his call-up, White had never been involved in an England setup at any level.
It's mind-blowing, you know, even the first bit being in the 33-man squad was enough for me, and to make it to the final squad was unbelievable. Coming here this week, it's been really tough with obviously the players that are here. It shows the level that all these players are at and the level that I need to get to.
Chelsea striker Olivier Giroud scored twice as France completed their preparations for Euro 2020 with a 3-0 win over Bulgaria in Paris. Liverpool striker Sadio Mane was among the goals once again for Senegal as the Teranga Lions beat Cape Verde 2-0. The former Everton midfielder Idrissa Gueye got the other goal for Senegal. And the West Ham pair Tomáš Souček and Vladimír Čufal were both involved as the Czech Republic finished their warm-up matches with a 3-1 win over Albania in Prague. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Giroud! He might be off soon, though.
Well, it could well be,
yes. He's signed a one-year contract extension, but apparently he's wanted by AC Milan. And apparently Chelsea are getting interested in this Norwegian wonder kid, Haaland, for £170 million. That's the talk in the papers this morning. Finally, athletics. The women's 10,000-metre world record has been smashed by more than 5 seconds, just 2 days after it had previously been beaten. There's another one. Letin Sembetgidi of Ethiopia set a time of 29 minutes, 1.03 seconds at trials in the Netherlands last night. Afterwards, she said that she expected to run a world record again and would like to break it by getting under 29 minutes. I think I'd feel giddy after that, wouldn't you?
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles. Offshore the Outre-Maritime and the Var. The general situation is a depression, 1,013 millibars over Sardinia. Winds are southwesterly, force 2, so 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,017 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, showers, force 1 to 3, variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are westerly, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,016 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat, the home closing specialist in Nice and Villefranche.
Had a big storm in the night in Antibes. Did you have it in Nice?
I don't think so.
Sunshine this morning, thundery showers developing this afternoon, light to moderate southwesterly winds, top temperature 27 degrees today, overnight lows 18 to 21 degrees with clear skies. Thursday and Friday, sunshine and showers tomorrow, fine on Friday, and yes, getting hotter, highs of 25 to 28 degrees.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat Nice and Villefranche. For 30 years, specialising in home closures, windows, blinds, shutters, reinforced glazing and doors. Feel good at home. Visit servibat06.fr.
Stop at 28, that's enough.
Well, we did tell you it's going to get hot.
Who?
I did.
You did.
There you were complaining that it wasn't.
I wasn't complaining. I just said we hadn't exactly had a heat wave. Even 28 isn't a heat wave by this part of the world standards. And I had the air conditioning on last night.
Oh, did you now? Get nice. You. Was your neighbour on the phone again?
No, but I slept like a baby. Brilliant. Finally.
Who wants to live forever?
Not me.
Well, Professor of Genetics David Sinclair says anyone who believes humans can't live forever is full of it, as he announces human studies on an immortality jab will begin in 2023. Human studies on a genetic reset that could allow us to live for thousands of years will begin in less than 2 years, according to the genetics expert. David Sinclair said tests on mice have proved aging can be reversed in the brain as well as other organs. The 52-year-old said his study, published last December, had proved there was a system of bringing cells back to a younger state without going too far. In a discussion over how modern medicine can extend the human lifespan, the expert said babies born today should aim to reach 100. He added, how long can you ultimately live? Well, there's no maximum limit to a human lifespan. There are trees that live for thousands of years, and their biochemistry is pretty close to ours.
Where are we going to put everyone then?
They're all going into space. I've just realised the penny dropped this morning because I was listening to, you know how they're all planning it, aren't they? Jeff Bezos is going into space, and then they were saying you can... But the price... Yeah. So they're auctioning it off. What is it? I think it's up to $3.2 million. Yeah. That's just for a 10-minute trip. Yeah. And then they said another company was offering a week at something like $55 million.
Yeah.
So it's going to become a travel... for only the rich, isn't it?
No,
and the other poor folk are going to get left down here.
No, as the technology advances, the price will come down.
Yeah, but how long is that going to take?
20 years, 30 years maybe?
So meanwhile, we'll all be stuck down here.
Yes.
With COVID and the end of the world. And anyone who can afford it will shoot upwards.
Well, what are they going to do up there?
Well, they're going to build another thing to mess up what they've done here.
It's going to take quite a number of years to be able to build a kind of moon Hilton with sort of all running hot and cold water and swimming pools and the rest of it.
But there's 55 million one. You can stay up for a week.
Well, do what? Float about for a bit.
Float about, yeah. Just enjoy, drink champagne.
How are you going to drink champagne in space?
Oh, can you not?
Well, you'd have to put it into a bottle and...
Tube, in a drip, no?
No, you could actually drink it. It would have to be in a sealed bottle with a straw coming out of it.
I'm sure people would do that if it meant getting a glass of champagne.
It's hardly, you know, I mean, what did you do? I drank champagne through a straw all week. Oh, well, why don't you just do it on Earth in a glass? I think your theory is a bit flawed there, young Lysa, I have to say.
No, I think it's going to be... It will be amazing.
Of course, all the rich people want to go into space, but, I mean, whether it's actually worth going into space at the moment just to have zero gravity for a bit, but it's not exactly going
to
be...
You said you'd go up to have a look.
I want to go up to have a look, yeah.
So you
I don't
do
want to go up there
the
to
trip.
Swill champagne out of a bottle through a straw. Goodness me.
On your bike.
No, in a few decades, so there will be moon hotels, I'm sure of it.
Mm.
Anyway... That's the future, and I won't be around to see it.